Okay, very good. We're back in. We have computer problems today, but this is the third hour of the Barton Report. PJ Barton is my name, and we're back on air again. I linked out there by hitting a wrong switch. And as I say, it is the third hour, and we're here on the 21st day of September 2019. I'm just reading that article there by Chuck Baldwin. It doesn't matter if we missed some of the end of it, but people got the gist of it. He's the only pastor in America that has understood in true terms the Bible, all the misrepresentation of the 501c3 churches, the absolute fallacy of Zionism, and the Judeo-Christian thing, which is a myth, and he's standing up for the Second Amendment, which Trump is trashing. There's no doubt about that. But put on the chat box and send that. Boom. Okay. Etc. But anyway, Ken is battling with computer problems, and everything is on. Yeah, on. Okay. don't use the enter button. Use the mouse. That's the rule on these systems we have here. But okay. But John Whitehead is speaking up as usual, an absolutely fearless speaker. And there's two of his articles here. Let's see which one. August 6, 2019. This one, the martial law masquerading as law and order, the police state language by force. And I sprinted down three of his articles today. This is the one. I'm going to go back and reverse on these. Would be the best way. No, we'll miss that one. Okay. 60, martial law masquerading as the police, martial law masquerading the police state language by force. Okay. But he's saying here, since when have we in America been expected to bow submissively to the authority and speak with awe and reverence to those who represent us? The constitutional theory is that we, the people, are sovereign. They are working for us. The state and federal officials only are agents. Who have the final word can speak softly and angrily. We can seek to challenge and annoy as we need to stay docile and quiet. Who is he quoting? Some schmuck here. William Douglas. Okay, well, William Douglas couldn't speak very clearly. He said, forget everything you've ever been taught about free speech in America. It's all a lie. There can be no free speech for the citizenry when the government speaks in a language of force. What is the language of force? Militarized police, riot squads, camouflage gear, black uniforms, armored vehicles, mass arrests, pepper sprays, tear gas, batons, strip searches, surveillance cameras, Kevlar vests, drones, lethal weapons, less than lethal weapons unleashed with deadly force, rubber bullets, water cannon, stun guns, arrests of journalists, crowd control tactics, intimidations, basically brutality. And they're saying, This is not the language of freedom. This is not even the language of law and order. This is the language of brute of force. Unfortunately, this is how the government at all levels, federal, state, and local, now responds to those who choose to exercise their First Amendment right to peacefully assemble in public the challenges of the status quo. The police overkill isn't just happening in troubled hotspots such as Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore. They're where police brutality gives rise to civil unrest, which has met with militarized show of force that caused the whole stew of discontent to bubble over into violence. A decade earlier, the NYPD in mass arrests of peaceful protesters, bystanders, legal observers, and journalists who had gathered for the 2004 Republican National Convention. The protesters were subject to blanket fingerprinting and detained for more than 24 hours as a filthy, toxic pier that had been a bus depot. Okay. The particular exercise in police intimidation tactics cost New York City taxpayers nearly $18 million for what will become the largest police protest settlement in history. Demonstrator journalists and legal observers who had gathered in North Dakota to peacefully protest to the Dakota Access Pipeline reported being pepper sprayed, beaten with batons, and strip searched by police. In the college town of Charlottesville, Virginia, protesters who took to the streets to peacefully express their disapproval of the planned KKK rally held at bay by implacable lines of gun-wielding riot police. Only after a motley crew of kin Klansmen had been safely escorted to and from the rally by black garb police did the assembly army of city and county state police declare the public gathering unlawful and proceed to unleash canisters of tear gas on the few remaining protesters to force them to disperse. Most recently, this militarized exercise in intimidation, complete with armored vehicles and army police drones, reared its ugly head in the small town of Dillonga, Georgia, where 600 state and local militarized police clad in full riot gear vastly outnumbered the 600 to deal with a crowd of 50 protesters and 150 counter-protesters who had gathered to voice their approval. One second. Excuse me. And he said, help keep alive, freedom alive, support our work. That's the Rutherford Institute that is, in fact, John Whitehead. To be clear, this is the treatment being meted out to protesters across the political spectrum. The police state does not discriminate. As a USA Today article notes, not that you'd read the truth in that magazine, federally armed police with weapons of war silence protesters across all justice movements. People demanding justice, demanding accountability, and demanding basic human rights without resorting to violence should not be greeted with machine guns and tanks. Peaceful protest is democracy in action. It is a form for those who feel disempowered and disenfranchised. Protesters should not have to face protesters should not have to face intimidation by weapons of war. A militarized police response to protesters poses a danger to all being involved. Those involved, protesters and police alike. In fact, militarization makes police more likely to turn to violence to solve problems. As a study by researchers at Stanford University makes clear, when law enforcement receives more military materials, weapons, vehicles, and tools, it becomes more likely to jump into high-risk situations. Militarization makes every problem, even a card of teenagers driving away from a party, look like a nail that should be hit with an AR-15 hammer. Even the color of a police officer's uniform adds to the tension. As the Department of Justice reports, some research has suggested that uniform color can influence the wearer, with black producing aggressive tendencies. Tendencies may produce unnecessary conflict between police and the very people that you want to turn a peaceful protest into a riot. He said, bring in the militarized police with their guns and black uniforms and war zone tactics and comply or die mindset. Ratchet up the tension across the board. Take what should be healthy exercise in constitutional principles, free speech, for example, and turn it into a lesson in authoritarianism. Okay. Mind you, those who respond with violence are playing into the government's hands perfectly. The government wants a reason to crack down and lock down and bring in its biggest guns. They want us divided. They want us to turn on one another. They want us powerless in the face of their artillery and armed forces. They want us silent, servile, and compliant. They certainly do not want us to remember that we have rights, let alone attempting exercise. And they definitely do not want us to engage in First Amendment activities that challenge the government power, reveal the government's corruption, expose the government lies, and encourage the citizenry to push back against the government's many injustices. Wow, what a list. And he goes on to say, you know how one mayor characterized the tear gassing of protesters by riot police He called it an unfortunate event. just a minor incident. Unfortunate indeed. You know what else is unfortunate? It's unfortunate that these overreacting, heavy-handed lessons in how to rule by force have become standard operating procedure for government communities with its citizenry primarily taught the language of brutality, intimidation, and fear. It's unfortunate that we, the people, have become the proverbial nails to be hammered into submission by the government and its vast armies. And it's particularly unfortunate that government officials, especially police, seem to believe that anyone who wears a government uniform, soldier, police officer, police guard, or prison guard, must be obeyed without question. In other words, we the people are the servants of the government's eyes rather than the masters. The government's rationale goes like this. Do exactly what I say and we'll get along fine. Do not question me or talk back in any way. You do not have the right to object to anything I say or ask for clarification. If my demands are unclear or contradictory, you must obey me under all circumstances without hesitation, no matter how arbitrary, unreasonable, discriminatory, or by blatantly racist my commands may be. Anything other than immediate, perfect, servile compliance would be labeled as resisting arrest and expose you to the possibility of violent reaction from me. Yeah, being shot dead. Was it 4,000 people shot dead by the police since 2015? The reaction could cause you to cause you severe injury or even death, and I will suffer no consequences in your choices. Take a bit of the actuality of police being convictions, virtually none. Indeed, Officer Sonny Dutta of Los Angeles Police Department advises, if you don't want to get shot, tasered, pepper sprayed, or struck with a baton or thrown to the ground, just do what I tell you. Don't argue with me. Don't call me names. Don't tell me that I can't stop you. Don't say I'm a racist pig. Don't threaten that you'd sue me and take away my badge. Don't scream at me and that you pay my salary, and don't even think of aggressively walking towards me. This is the rhetoric of a government that is of the people, by the people, and of the people. Yeah, government out of control. This is not an attitude of someone who understands, let alone respects free speech. This is clearly not what I would call community policing, which is supposed to emphasize the importance of relationship between the police and the community they serve. Help us continue to sound the alarm. Donate today. Blah blah blah. Indeed, this is the martial law masquerading as law and order. That was the title of his article, Martial Law Masquerading as Law and Order. Any police officer who tells you that he needs tanks, SWAT teams, and pepper sprays to do his job shouldn't be a police officer in a constitutional republic. All that stuff in the First Amendment about freedom of speech, religious, press, peaceful assembly, and right to petition the government for redress of grievances sounds great in theory. However, it amounts to little more than a hill of beans if you have to exercise those freedoms while facing down an army of police equipped with deadly weapons, surveillance devices, and a slew of laws that empowers them to arrest and charge the citizens with bogus contempt charge. It doesn't have to be this way. He said there are other far better models. For instance, back in 2011 in St. Louis, police opted to employ a passive response to occupy St. Louis activists. Police gave the protesters nearly 36 hours notice to clear the area as opposed to 20 to 60 minutes notice of the cities. Then, as journalist Brad Hicks reports, when the police finally showed up, they didn't show up in riot gear or helmets. They showed up in short sleeves and their faces showing. They not only didn't show up with SWAT gear, they showed up with no unusual weapons at all, and what weapons they had were securely holstered. They politely woke everybody up. They politely helped everybody who was willing to remove their property from the park to do so. Then they asked out of 75 to 100 people down there how many people were volunteering for being arrested due duty. Given 33 hours to think about it, and 10 hours of sweat is only and 10 hours to sweat it out over 27 volunteers. As the police already knew, these people, legal advisors had advised them not even passively resist. So the 27 people lined up peacefully, arrested and were escorted away. Anyway, he's giving alternatives here. SWAT teams and purpose. It will be done. The police will not voluntarily give up their gadgets and war toys and combat tactics. However, the training and incarceration towards alternatives has become too ingrained. If we are to have any hope of dismantling the police state, change must start locally, community by community. Citizens will have to demand that police de-escalate and demilitarize. And if the police don't listen, contact your city council and put pressure on them. But they are supposed to work for us. Yeah, remember that. They might not like hearing it, but certainly won't like being reminded of it. And we pay their salaries with our hard-earned tax dollars. We, the people, have got to stop accepting the lame excuses trotted out by police as justifications for their inexcusable behavior. He said, enter, we, the people, either we, the people, believe in free speech or we don't. Either we live in a constitutional republic state or we don't. He said, we have rights. As Justice William O. Douglas advised in his dissent, Colton versus Kentucky, we need to stay docile. We need not stay docile in the face of authority. Okay, going on and on and on with stuff like this. Now, that's the gist of his article. It's not the best article he's written ever. He's beginning to ramble in these articles, John Whitehead. But overall, he makes the correct point about what is going on, etc., etc. But, and there's another article. We're all enemies of the state now, which is in the same vein as that last one, in many, many ways. But yeah, the vaccine industry running riot. again, big pharma, another weapon against you. It's an attack weapon. The health service, the public health service, is an attack weapon. It's also almost a death cult. And fake science. Sam Forbes magazine, same Forbes magazine that pushed Monsanto's GMO science's lies, now pushing left-wing climate change hysteria. Indeed. And Apple is pushing the nationwide 5G rollout, so the customers will have to upgrade their and buy new iPhones. As usual, it's always about money. And I was reading this review before. Same Amazon.com cancer cure documentaries. Now all in with Big Pharma's toxic cancer treatments via its Go Gold Us campaign, etc., etc. That Bezos, he looks like Satan. If they ever needed a human exposition of what Satan is, Bezos would fit the bill, no doubt about it. And look at his face. His left eye stares in a different direction. People who are deeply disturbed, look at a photograph straight on of them, and this is unfailing. Their left eye stares ahead with no expression in it. Even people with dark brown eyes, which have less expression, but look at their left eye in a straight-up photograph of disturbed criminals, etc. Their left eye stares ahead. No, they're living two lives, two contradictory people inside them, two personalities operating. That's really the reason. It shows up in your left eye. You check that out, it never fails. And the third story about Amazon. World's largest retailer, Amazon begins Nazi-like digital burning of books. That's an article from April this year, and I know that to my cost. So hard to get key books now, it really is. Corrupt FBI was running a treasonous espionage operation against Trump, and it's all about to come out. Well, Comey got a free pass from this appalling attorney general. Will somebody give me a reason? And pointless asking, what do you call him, the Trump phenomenon, about that. He's just basically a cheerleading flunky all the time. Trump can do no wrong. Kelso. But I don't know how that's much more that can go on. But being defeated by AI makes people feel horrible, revealed study. Really. Doesn't affect me in the slightest. And so the overtaxed middle class being wiped out in New Jersey, residents flee and drove. Is there any key state in America? I still hold out for Montana. I've been in Montana as one of the last refuges of civilization. That's telling Deborah Tavares she should go up and live there. But this is all EMF, all EMF'd up. A sensitive person's journey with federally recognized disability, electromagnetic sensitivity versus microwave sickness. Yeah. Well, microwaves and induction ovens are totally destructive to women and children in households. Absolutely, there's no let up in it. Excuse me. And is it how white liberals will wake up? Well, that'll be interesting. And there you go on that article. Just reading across some of the articles I have here. The Chinese state, 2.6 million Chinese deleted from everything because they weren't good citizens, right? They didn't have their point system topped up as being correct citizens. And that's where we're headed in America and Britain and the EU. And again, the attack on cash, killing cash, the Australians, they've lost control of their country completely to the globalists. Australia and New Zealand. Shocking. Wow. This article here, how white liberals will wake up. Well, let's see who's writing this article then. News editors. Okay. The saying, white liberals can be maddening. They proceed through life happily proclaiming their devotion to progressivism, completely oblivious to the brewing demographic dangers on the horizon. Indeed, most polls show them doubling down on their beliefs in an era of Donald Trump. If you try to warn them, they will stare at you blankly. If you are a friend or relative, count yourself lucky that they are still tolerate you and your beliefs. And there's an article by Patrick McDermott, republished from the UNS report. He's saying, unfortunately, such delusional obstinacy cannot be ignored. Their views are a fundamental component of the broader systematic threat to Western civilization. History has shown what the world's European peoples can accomplish when we are reasonably united. No foreign enemy or ideology could destroy us without the assistance of a substantial share of our own people. To turn the tide, we must win them back. White liberals are neither evil nor irredeemable. They are temporarily misguided. The longer history of white liberalism, which in the past was more was far more hard-headed and realistic, clearly shows how much of the latest literation has gone off the rails. The road to perdition may be paved with good intentions, but most of them will awaken before we get there. Our colleagues' struggle will be difficult, but they will be standing with us when we emerge the other side. Understanding how white liberals will change requires first understanding how their minds work. Entire fields of scientific inquiry have been devoted to explaining human behavior, including evolution. This is getting a bit pedantic. Okay. Started off this article with a reasonable. You got lost somewhere along the line. But I just got this one article here about this. Again, it's quieting down a bit, but it's rearing its head again. The push to kill cash. Australia's proposed ban showing it's not a conspiracy theory. And it's saying here, Graham Smith, the supposed coordination of governments and tech companies to create a one-world cashless society is often viewed little more than a fodder for silly YouTube conspiracy videos. After all, cash is still king in daily life, even in extremely high-tech innovators like Japan. Upon closer examination, though, current realities like Australia's proposed cash transaction ban for 2020, the continuing removal of higher denomination bills from several world economies, and the creation of a centralized state cryptocurrencies by governments worldwide cannot be ignored. These trends signal a global push to kill paper money in the same name as safety, security, and financial inclusion. So you can pay, but it better be our way. Excuse me. Australia's Black Economy Task Force wants to put people accepting over $10,000 Australian dollars and $6,750 US in cash in the slammer for up to 2 years, or fine them up to $25,000 in an ostensible bid to fight back the black market economies. The currency restrictions of use. This is if you draw that kind of cash out of the bank. Transactions equal to or even excess of this amount would need to be made using the electronic payment system or by check. The Black Economy Task Force recommends this action to tackle tax evasion and other criminal activities. Note the similarity here with talking points of other governments. India's Prime Minister Modi, when announcing the devastating surprise removal of 86% of the country's circulating paper cash in 2016, proclaimed black money and corruption are the biggest obstacles to eradicating poverty. Well, there other currencies are going to flood into, which I said this three or four times, the country will be flooded with US dollars for the real black market. Not surprisingly, Modi's shock put the dominantly cash-based society in panic, forcing people to take their own worthless 1,000 and 500 rupee notes to banks within 50 days of the announcements to exchange them for smaller denominations. Now, the Royal Bank of India is moving to ban all cryptocurrencies but one, a state-sponsored digital rupee. Wow, they're showing a photograph of the McKinley $500 American bill, which I don't think is it still in existence. 500 Federal Reserve notes were officially discontinued in 1969. Yeah, there's no, the $100 bill is the top one of the moment. The removal of large cash bills is worldwide, an ongoing reality, with the European Central Bank stopping production of the 500 euro note earlier this year. The note of the media, the bin laden, was said to be used disproportionately for financing terrorism. Well, the drug trade. They knew exactly when the euro was set up prior to 2000 that it would facilitate the drug trade. The US used to have banknotes worth $500 at higher and higher as well, some which were known as gold certificates, entitling the bearer to physical gold upon redemption. As fractional reserve bankers took over, however, the national debt increased. These systems were progressively abandoned. The trend continues today. In the form of negative interest rates policy. That's absolutely vicious. If that gets a grip, you have to pay to have money in the bank. Stop holding cash and take our debt. If everybody is holding cash, negative interest rates become useless. These are the words of the former People's Bank of China Governor Zhu Zandao, whatever his name is, after the Chinese government had just completed a trial run of their new national cryptocurrencies back in 2017. Now the currency, sovereign digital currency, is almost ready, and has the officials have said so. Earlier, in the same interview, this Chinese finance minister said the cost of cash transactions will greatly increase in the later stages. For instance, banks do not charge any fee for counting a large amount of coins now, but in the future they may charge their clients for such service. And they're doing it here in the UK. Retailers lodging money in the banks here have to pay a fee for lodging cash. That's been here for 4 or 5 years. New Zealand Reserve Bank Governor Adrian Orr agrees with the zoo. Well, Australia and New Zealand are now run by the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the globalists. They're no longer sovereign countries. That's absolutely the case. There's absolutely no doubt of that. Anyway, just waiting to go to the bottom of the hour break. Yoke. Okay, we'll go to the break, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes, okay?
Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendabite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we're coming back in to the bottom of the hour break on the third hour. There's another half hour to go, and we just say that because we're Ken and just struggling with one computer down today. He's doing miracles to keep the broadcast going. But, yeah, the push to kill cash, there's all sorts of evidence. The bottom line is it's a creep behind the scenes. Cash machines are disappearing here in Wales. There's none in this town. None. And you got to go to the post office. There's one Lloyds Bank left, and I don't think they'll be there for much longer. Otherwise, you'll have to drive 7 miles to a smaller town, or 22 miles to a larger town again. But it's shocking. Woo! And they're also offering in these supermarkets, you want cashback, and that's at an interest rate. But there you are. Wow, and it said, I'm altering the showing Darth Vader here. It's a very good example of what Google has turned into. It said, I'm altering the search results. Pray I don't alter them any further. He said, when we drop phrases like this into Google keyword panel, what do we get? An astonishing 1 to 10 people search this term every month. In U.S. In other words, no one. Not to tell people. I'm offering the search results. You could have fun asking Google all these questions to see what they put up as answers. We discussed the point of the, I'm trying to find who's writing this article, hopefully. Sorry, this is written back. This article is, Google declares organics to be a lie. What? Organics is natural farming. I mean, they're absolute Stalinist, and GMOs are good. And this is the tail end of another article. Just counting the pages here. Oh, 16 pages. Oh, my God, the time we've got. I'm just showing a Google search engine pop-up. Neuropathy is dangerous. Neuropathy is fake. Neuropathy is quackery. Neuropathy is real. Oh, dear. Chiropractic is fake. Pseudonym is dangerous. Chiropractic is a doctor who's bad. This is the subtitle they give you the options to look up. Holistic medicine is fake. Holistic medicine is dangerous. It's anti-scientific. Does it work? Homeopathy is fake. It's quackery. It's a sham. Ooh, well, this is the way Google is programmed now. Organic is always a non-GMO. Whoa. Organic is a marketing gimmick. What a load of appalling scum. Just Google, put it in the bin. That's the market. It's absolutely toxic. Toxic, absolute low-life disinformation on a shocking scale. The fake science is that the same Forbes magazine that pushed Monsanto's GMO science lies is now pushing left-wing climate change hysteria. And they said the government, environmentalists, and automobile producers are deadlocked in their efforts to balance the demands of consumers and the potential for damage to the environment, which so-called experts claim is caused by vehicle CO2 emissions. Even regulators are divided about how strict federal fuel efficiency restrictions need to curb emissions, and scientists claim the major trigger is climate change. And they go on to say, this is Forbes magazine stuff, see how much we can get through. All the confusion and climate change hysteria are based on scientific consensus that CO2 emissions trigger global warming, thereby pushing the planet off to the edge of catastrophe. A 100% lie. The mainstream media has been reporting that climate change is established fact, and there's several years now, even though thousands of respected scientists insist that evidence does not support the global warming myth. Conservative publications have tended to be more objective, and they're reporting about climate change. Recently, however, Forbes magazine demonstrated that it has moved away from its conservative roots and has embraced the global warming hysteria. On August 10, Forbes published a well-researched article presenting the view of a respected astrophysicist who believes that many climatologists are misguided in their understanding of climate change. But if they don't understand basic chemistry and physics, what the hell are they doing as climatologists? But we can't have any plants growing without CO2, and the CO2 level needs to increase. Within hours, however, the publication's editors removed the article, noting that it failed to meet editorial standards. And, you know, that's a good one. Forbes' recent move to embrace left-wing globalist warming propaganda is perhaps unsurprising, considering its previous willingness to publish Monsanto's GMO science lies. Clearly, the powers that be and that Forbes have discarded journalistic integrity and have allowed the magazine to become a mouthpiece of fake science, just like the BBC. Forbes initially reported. As reported by the American Spectator, it would appear that Forbes has embraced the climate change delusion to stay in step with the mainstream leftist globalist warming narrative. The purpose of this collusion is to sell the world on global warming crisis that doesn't exist in order to implement a far left agenda that would cost trillions. Yeah, the UN, sustainability agenda to wipe us out, cause, which would cause trillions, would cause millions to lose their jobs and die. Do little real world good towards their stated purpose. That's the dead end. And hurt the world's poorest people most. The United States alone, this agenda would cost average family thousands of dollars each every year. This is before we get the carbon taxes, which they're thinking of introducing in Ireland. Absolute morons. That's enough of that article. But anyway, the all background things to push the carbon taxes agenda of the United Nations and tax people into slavery. And this thing, Apple, we'll take this one first. Techno-fascism, that had the Apple symbol up there with a swastika in the middle of it, which is absolutely accurate. That is what Apple has now turned into. Just reading messages here. Apple is pushing nationwide 5G rollout so that customers will have to upgrade and buy new iPhones. As usual, it's all about money, 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 money. It said the giant Apple recently held another one of its products and service launch events, where it was announced that the new iPhone, which supports 5G capabilities, are soon on the way. Even though, well, it can't, the infrastructure is put in place. Even though they look almost exactly like the old phones, the new iPhone lineup will allegedly be able to connect to at least some of the 5G antenna towers that are popping up all over the place, including those being placed next to extremely schools. Well, if it does connect to one, and they don't need it for telecoms at all, it'll do ferocious damage to the person receiving the signal. Shocking. We'll just see what they deal with it in this article. Ever since the passing of Steve Jobs, Apple has turned into a lackluster, at best, copycat company that never really releases anything truly new. Instead, the Silicon Valley giant seems to be just churn out the exact same recycled tech every year, with a few small modifications, all while calling it new and charging an obscene price for it. Well, this is happening once again with Apple's latest batch of upcoming iPhones, which we've learned are nothing more than money-making gimmicks designed to entice the lower IQ customers to hop onto the 5G train and spend all of their hard-earned cash for price gadgets. Well, of course, they're consumers. They like people who get tattoos put on their body. They feel they've nothing much inside their brain, so they put something on the outside on a tattoo. And it's the same with people with iPhones, really. According to reports, more than half of the Apple sales will come from iPhones, even though iPhone sales continue to decline year after year. This is why Apple is desperately trying to get 5G fully implemented, because it has nothing new to offer its customers besides new and supposedly improved iPhones, which are basically different than the old ones, save for the addition of a few gimmicks. He's already said that. New Apple iPhones won't even have real 5G capability. That's what I'm saying. Just as AT&T and fake 5GE logo embedded on their screen. Hilariously, these new supposedly 5G-equipped iPhones that Apple is soon to release won't even have a 5G capability. It goes on to go into detail on that. But scam after scam after scam. You're being scammed about that. I see a message here from the ghost. Same Amazon.com that banned cancer cure documentaries, now all in with Big Pharma's toxic cancer treatments via the new Go Gold astroturfing campaign. Whoa, what a mouthful that is. Mouthful. Jeff Bezos has this demonic photograph of what is Satan. The presence of Satan on Earth. Bezos. Jeff Bezos has launched a new propaganda campaign called Amazon Goes Gold that blatantly pushes the big pharma lie that chemotherapy and some kind of universal cure for childhood cancer. Well, we went through the GCMAP, the actual cure for cancer. GCMAP has a success rate under David Noakes and Lynn Tyre of 87%. Chemotherapy has a cure rate of less than 3%. Right? I mean, blatant lies. Exploiting the heartbreaking story of a Texas girl who underwent chemo for stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, the Amazon blog makes the suggestion that even though chemo routinely harms and kills people, it is still the best option for adults and children who are diagnosed with cancer. Imagine that for a dichotomy. At the very same time, the Amazon is banning all content about natural healing alternatives. Amazon Goes Gold is aggressively trying to indoctrinate its patrons into accepting the one-size-fits-all remedies offered by the multi-billion dollar cancer. I believe it's $600 billion a year industry, and 120,000 people a year die in Britain from cancer who do not need to die. As it goes on to say about Amazon, plagiarizing the infamous Pink Ribbon campaign, long promoted by Susan K. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Awareness, Amazon Goes Gold campaign will ship out gold ribbons with any Amazon orders during the month of September. I mean, how sneering is that? Amazon is also donating $4 million to the American Childhood Cancer Organization. I see the multinationals and big pharma contributing to cancer charities. Stay away from those charities. Those charities are muzzled, and they're doing virtually nothing to improve the situation of people. And Children's Oncology Group, well, as who's was saying it, Al Whitney and other people who've worked in medicine. Al Whitney, who's now no more, deceased on this network. Oncologists are one of the biggest liars in medicine. The biggest liars promoting pharma representatives in hospital oncologists. I think oncologists groups similarly run by pharma mongers like Peter C. Adamson of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Adamson is buddies with Paul Offit, a big pharma hack who believes that children can safely be injected with up to 10,000 vaccinations. Vaccines at once and live to tell about it. Good. Woo! These and other Amazon Go Gold partners, in essence, represent a who's who list of the big pharma's biggest propagandists. More important to them than the actual healing and keeping the public under the delusion of that chemotherapy is somehow a legitimate form of medicine that helps to fight cancer. And Amazon is further doing its part to keep the ruse going by shipping all Amazon orders in custom packaging with its little gold ribbon to remind customers that they should immediately turn to chemotherapy the minute their loved ones is diagnosed with cancer. That's like UPS is hoping to hook up with Big Pharma over vaccinations, that they will be involved in vaccinating in UPS. But this is a shocking article. It's absolutely shocking beyond words. If you start underlining it, you have to underline the entire piece. Criminality, multi-layered criminal syndicates, it's a medical crime. That's the only word for it. As exposed by Peter Gotchi. And the book burning by Amazon, which has been going on for years, and now Amazon also own Abe Books, which is the biggest second-hand book organization in the world. And within that, they're pulling books out of circulation to keep it from people. Right? Said by May, several other burnings have taken place, one of them involving something like 25,000 followers, which went up in flames in the square in the state opera in Berlin. What's the going back this? Of 1933, the actual book burning by the Third Reich in Hitler. But that's what we're into now in the electronic form. Book burning, punk censorship at every single level. There's no let up. But I'm just picking out articles here from hundreds that I have on these type of subjects. As I said, you did it before last week. The U.S. police routinely travel to Israel to learn more techniques of repression. Yeah, well, just John Whitehead was describing that to us. EMF, more killing. And again, the toxic water in America. Trump was saying there about 6 months ago that America has the cleanest water in the Western world. That is an outrage. As I said, they've been testing the water in CWC laboratories in Austin, Texas, from 90 to 100 cities, and it's shocking. Toxic, toxic, toxic. Semi-treated sewage, that's the title for it. Home equity theft, how a man's home was seized over an $8.41 unpaid taxes. And so many of those. To see which state that happened in. New Jersey. I read the story last week. But SWAT teams showing up over an unpaid council tax. We have council tax here in the UK, which used to be called the poll tax. It was kind of a voting register tax. If you were just taxed for existing. So they switched it around to rates and local authority tax. No doubt I'm really repeating something, but it has to be said enough. Turn it off. Spending too much time on gadgets or watching TV significantly affects the developmental skills of young children, warn researchers. Well, that is rampant everywhere. It's increasing. It's at a rate here, the number of people, young teenagers presenting with problems like that. And parents planting children, plunking children down, three-year-olds and two-year-olds in front of an electronic tablet and getting them to press the screen. I mean, that's a shocking influence on a young mind at that age, that the world is about pressing buttons. Shocking. And trying to ban wood-burning stoves, that's another one. Anything to do with civilization and decency being outlawed. It's globalist propaganda and attacks at every level. But I just see somebody and out just send a message back here. To them, keep them happy. As I read it before, I'm duplicating some of the things I pulled today. Migrants arrive in Texas from the Congo. Media buries the medical fact that Africans can carry Ebola without showing any signs or symptoms. Yeah, absolutely. What about people from the Congo as well? Where is rampant, that disease? But not to worry, the CDC owned the patent on Ebola. Isn't that comforting? Comforting to know. And as we said before, many articles, liberal cities across America are collapsing into third world status, including Seattle. Well, the sanctuary cities are now the hellholes of America. They're starting that crap in Ireland. And Cork City is now a sanctuary city. They're sneaking immigrants at night into disused housing and hotels. And they're heading for a bruising, a massive uprising in Ireland. And Jim O'Doherty and Rowan Croft, a very good citizen reporter who's on YouTube. He calls himself Gran Torino, which is a bit confusing. But they're reporting on that all the time, but not at all on the national news media. He and the rest of them, they just don't deal with that. Blanket censorship. But cities unveil unethical homeless reporting. While LA pushes anti-homeless law. Well, that's go to that article. The fairly recent Aaron Kessel writing this article. The cities of San Francisco and Seattle are testing a new way to report homeless encampments. 10 cities via dialing 311 or using an app. Meanwhile, LA lawmakers are pushing to ban homeless people from parks, schools, and other designated areas, reports the LA Times. And it's a snitch on homeless people. See something, say something. Yeah, yeah. It's the Stalinist Stasi police state. Residents of Seattle can now report homeless encampments quickly and remotely, providing citizens the ability to send a report directly to a corresponding city department with the Find It, Fix It app, Smart Cities Dodge Report. The app enables citizens the ability to alert the city on public problems with a message including location and description. Users submit issues by category, such as illegal dumping, potholes, dead animals, and other inquiries, allowing residents to report encampments, a city spokesman, Cindy Wilder, told Smart Cities. Well, that same device in Smart City is probably snitching on you in other areas. Right? So you think you're helping the city, they're attacking and spying on you, people. That's what's going on. But, truly shocking. The reading messages here. See something, say something. Yeah. Well, use your own discernment to get involved in that. And if you did ring the police on a serious matter, as I say, it'd be 10 minutes before they show up, and then the receiver of the calls, like in Britain here, try to talk you down and describe the instance as something else. Go to a police station, there's a guy who's not even a copper, he's in a uniform, he's on the reception there, and certainly in Wales here, and he's a smiling, nicey, happy person, but he basically, his job is to talk you around that the crime you're reporting is not as serious as it is, and he categorizes it low down, and as I say, they are massaging the crime figures at a shocking rate. Absolutely shocking. But see something, say something. Yeah, snitch. Non-stop. Where do we go? I'm looking for some positive stories here that might be a good news story to end the program with today. And I'm finding it hard. Mum thrown in jail, her child stolen for successfully treating her cancer-ridden child with CBD oil. That is beyond the police state. That is beyond Stalinism. It's absolutely gulag stuff, prisoner of war camp stuff. You know? It's, But I might just get a piece of that done. We're going right off of the top today, are we? Yeah. Yep. Okay, I think we're at the end today, are we? Okay. So we'll say a difficult program today, but we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report, and we'll talk to them.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media exposing government. This is the alternative media exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the